All right, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through, we just began our study in the book of Judges, and we got to Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him I will give Aksah, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off from her ass. And Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said to him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And the children of of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of the palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon, his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And Yahuwah, the Lord, was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses had said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and Yahuwah was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, "Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we shall show thee mercy." And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof to this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Iblim and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And what do we have going on here? Of course, the Heavenly Father, they were instructed, the 12 tribes were instructed to go across and drive out all the inhabitants of the land. But it's a hard thing to do for a man to wield the sword of God by command. And this is demonstrated so clearly by the Israelites, because they had to stand before these men. It was easier to live in peace with them. To carry out the judgment of God by the sword was not an easy thing for these people to do. It was easier to compromise. It's easier to live with other men in peace. But the problem was that they were commanded to do it. And because they were commanded to do it, and they did not obey the command, all of these men and their people became a snare to the children of Israel. And as we shall see, that's the problem with allowing just anybody into your land. And we see that's exactly what's happening with America. That's a problem with evangelism or evangelicalism in the church, when the church has morphed from being Protestant or Protestants into being evangelical and ecumenical. We see that the pagans that come into the congregations bring all of their pollutions of idols and pollute the body of Christ. So the same problem, same thing happening. Because really, when you think about it, what we had is we had the body of our Creator, as we think of the body of Christ today, or the church. Well, this was the church in the wilderness. This was the church coming into the promised land. And they were to drive out all the inhabitants. They were to rout out all of the pagans with all of their idolatry before them. But it was easier for them to live in peace rather than go to war, even though the Heavenly Father promised them victory. But they succumb to fear instead. And the fear of those that they had fear with, or they succumb to having the desire rather to live at peace. What was easier? And that was to make peace with the inhabitants and allow them to live there in peace. Of course, the problem being their practice of idolatry, their practice of fertility and goddess worship. And as I said before, all of these abominations led to further abominations such as homosexuality, the goddess worship, and the worship of the form, rather, and romance. The idolatry of romance leads to, finally, to birth control and killing your unborn and your born children, sacrificing them to these idols. Because after all, that's what liberty is all about. And liberty, when liberty becomes your idol, when liberty becomes your highest ideal, then the liberty extends to your freedom from burden, and especially the burden that comes with procreation, or the act of procreating. Because our Heavenly Father, He created the act. He made it wonderful for us, for His people, for His creation, for mankind, so that they could enjoy the act of procreating. He made it very enjoyable. He made it for the purpose so that people would engage in it. Because if it wasn't enjoyable, if it wasn't pleasurable, nobody would do it, and the human race would die out. People would have to, on purpose, go do something that wasn't enjoyable, wasn't pleasant. And so you see how wise our Creator was in making the act of procreation an enjoyable thing for mankind. But it turns out that mankind just wants the enjoyment, but they are disobedient, is that they don't want the result, the thing that our Heavenly Father made the enjoyment for, to make it as easy for us to be obedient to His command. When He said, be fruitful and multiply, He didn't just command us to do something unpleasant. He made it pleasant to do. So we're disobedient when we just want to enjoy it, and then we kill our offspring or practice birth control, that is disobedience to our Creator, and we find ourselves worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And we can see this has been going on since beginning of time, basically. When you have your report in the scripture that the sons of God, and those were not angels, but those were the sons of God, saw the women, took themselves wives, and what they actually started to do was they started to look on the form of women. And there began the idolatry of the form, idolatry of the creation, rather than obedience to the Creator. And if you want more information on that, you can go back to my Genesis study and look into that. And don't believe all this nonsense about angels and stuff, because there's nothing, absolutely nothing in the scripture that backs up that line of thinking. Although it's become very popular, because I guess people like to hear stuff like that that's exciting and so forth. But we're here to study the Word and what it actually says, what it reveals to us, and not what we could imagine to be exciting out of it. Okay, so we continue here in Judges, and their conquest of the land after Joshua. They continue their conquest of the land after Joshua passes on. And of course, Caleb is left. Caleb was one of the men that was in the wilderness 40 years before they entered the land. So Caleb's a fairly old man here now after Joshua dies. Okay, where did we leave off here? Oh, yes. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Iblim and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo. Yes, we read that. We got to that. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. Well, they weren't to put them to tribute, and they did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Elab, nor of Akzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphik, nor of Rehob, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. And tributaries, that means that they paid tribute, they paid taxes, they paid protection fees. We will pay you if you let us live here in peace, basically. So what we have here is the children of Israel running a protection racket, basically. I don't recall that the Heavenly Father said, go into the land and, start a protection racket. Take money from the people, and if they don't pay you, then kill them. Nah, I don't remember that at all. But, well, it was easier. They were moving into the land. They were staking out their plots. They were planting their vineyards and raising their families, and they didn't want to bother with war anymore. They didn't want to go off and utterly drive out, and kill people, and, all that bloody mess that goes with war. Just a big bother, right? Who wants to do that? We'd rather live in peace. Yes, we would rather live in peace. Yes, bring them all into the church. Ah, so what? A little pollution of idols in our land. Who cares? We can live in peace. It won't touch us. It won't touch us. You could imagine them saying these things, just like today in all the corporate churches. And now they're practicing all the idolatry. Christ's death, Christmas from pagan Babylon, and from the mother church, the mother whore church. And then Ashtaroth, Easter, they practice that every year. And at the same time, they ignore, the Heavenly Father's holy days. Oh, we don't have to do the Heavenly Father's holy. Let's practice all these pagan stuff instead. Yes, let's have an Easter egg roll on the lawn of the White House. Yes, what fun. Yes, it won't come near us. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in the Mount Heres, and Aijalon, and in Shealbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Chapter 2 of Judges and verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and brought you into the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Now, I want you to notice something here. The Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, it says, and the angel of the Lord, the messenger of Yahuwah, our Creator, their Creator, he came up and he says this to them. He said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now, a lot of people latch onto that and say that God is still bound to keep his covenant with the Jews, and the Jews are God's chosen people today still. And he's bound because he said, I will never break my covenant with you. But you know, the covenant works two ways. He said, if you do not, I will not. He didn't break the covenant. They did. And that's what's being proclaimed here. They have broken the covenant. So we need to pay attention. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Yes, if you say, you know, if you pay us money, if you give us of the fruit of your labor, we will not kill you. If you set up a protection racket, tributary with them, you make a league with them. He says, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of Yahuwah spoke these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto Yahuwah, the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went, every man to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served Yahuwah all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of Yahuwah, of the Lord, that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not Yahuwah. They didn't know him, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim, or Baal. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. See, all these gods did become a snare to them, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and provoked Yahuwah to anger. You know, I see the same thing happening in the land where I live. We have America rose up in the wilderness, a new and a mighty nation, and the second beast of the book of Revelation having risen up lamb-like. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And if all men are created equal, that means that I have to do unto my neighbor as I would have him do unto me. That is a beautiful lamb-like principle for the founding of this nation. But what happens? Well, you have two horns. The first horn, lamb-like. The second one, dragon-like. We see that America falls. They start allowing all of the idols and all of the religions and all of the nations of the world just to pour into their borders and bring their cultures and their gods and their worship and their false idols. And then on top of that, the churches accommodate them with their evangelicalism and their ecumenism. And they bring them in. And they bring in all the pagan idolatry, all of the romance and all of the idolatry of romance, the idolatry of fertility worship. It is all in the church now. And this is exactly what is happening. History just keeps repeating itself over and over again. It seems that no one can read or understand, hey, they did this. If we do it, perhaps we'll get a different result. No, the same result. You do the same thing, you get the same result. You keep repeating the same thing and the same thing keeps happening. You think you'd kind of get the idea. But all of these things are recorded here for an example to us. We need to separate ourselves from the world. At least we need to secede from the world on an individual or a familial level if we're able. But Yahshua did say, he said, I have come to set a man at variance against his father. And what he was exclaiming there is, what would happen when men turned and accepted the Messiah in a family, that it would separate very families. So if we shouldn't be surprised when we look around us and when we read Judges, we read these words and see that it happened there as it's happening here. So they forsook the Lord their God, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they provoked Yahuwah, the Lord, to anger. And we've come to the end of this hour. So we'll pick up here when we come back. You've been listening to Cross the Border. Join me after the break here and stay tuned for the news.